Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Who's your daddy now? Should I say the Astros?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
In the zone. Cam hits a high fly ball deep to left field. Cam Smith may have just hit his first home run since April the 18th. Cam Smith, number 4 on the season, connects on a home run to make it 3-0 Astros.
That's what we like to see. Elevate to celebrate for Cam Smith.
He drills one high and deep. Forget about it. Back-to-back jacks for Cam Smith. And the Astros lead 4-0. Dana Brown said they come in bunches. 2-2 at bat.
That was a bomb.
Big scam.
Name dropping the GM right there. That's big time. Dana Brown said they come in bunches. Dana Brown also said Abreu was going to come around.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
Come on, Dana.
100%.
Hey, look here. Dirty's Daily, baby, brought to you by Mokarum Injury Lawyers. Easy to dial. I mean, hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. You just heard Cam Smith absolutely lighting it up. Hey, look, is back-to-back jacks, is that one of the best baseball phrases?
That one.
I mean, that is really good.
There's a lot baseball. Of them.
What would that be? What else would it be about, Tally? Oh.
Natural horniness. Oh. But no, that is one of the best phrases out there in the game.
Well, the Astros, they went off last night.
Natural horniness is a pretty good one, too. But go ahead.
The Astros went off last night in Sacramento, boys. 13-3 over the A's.
Astros won today.
Paredes, if you're worried about Paredes' hamstring, I don't want to jinx my man, but I don't know that I'd worry too much more. 2 walks, 2 hits, a couple of RBIs. I know when I turned the game on, and at one point, I can't remember if it was the first time or the second time after putting the babies down, but I looked up, and he was jogging across home plate, scored from second. Ron, I mean, yeah. So clearly that hamstring.
It made a hell of a play in the field, too.
Yeah, but. Man, I thought maybe he's just out there and he's just kind of gimping around. No, he's running bases now.
Must have been just a scare. Maybe it was a cramp or something, whatever.
Maybe it had to be more of a cramp, right? I mean,
He did miss three games. He did miss some weekends.
That's miraculous. Yeah. If he had any kind of real pull. Christian Walker had a couple of hits. One was a bomb. Jake Myers actually gets a base hit off the handle of the bat, right over the shortstop's head with bases loaded to get the first 2 runs, get the scoring started last night. Dubon 3-for-3 with a bomb. And my man Cam Smith, you just heard the highlights, 4-for-5 with 2 bombs. Ron, I don't want to oversell the Cam Smith thing with the Astros. This guy's got a real chance to be one of my favorite Astros. I don't want to oversell it right now.
No, don't hold back.
Well, no, I just you know, he hadn't hit a bomb since April, so it's not like he's just crushing the ball. But when everybody expected the kid to possibly not even make the opening day roster, and then if he did, the only conversation was, boy, if he's going to struggle. Remember what Bregman did? Boy, this guy's going to make – if he struggles, what's going to happen? I mean, what's he hitting right now, Ron? What is Cam Smith hitting right now? It's above 260, I believe. I think it was
especially four for five last night.
I think
night,
it was so 260 going into last
266
night.
For young Cam.
Yeah, so he bumped it 4 or 5 spots last night. I mean, look, Kyle Tucker obviously in right field is irreplaceable. But with Paredes doing what he's doing and Cam Smith looking like he's going to have one hell of a rookie year if he just keeps swinging it the way he swung the bat of late, and he's fine in right field. It's not like he's out of pocket, right? I mean, he was a third baseman and played in the outfield a bit. It's not like he's out of pocket. Those two guys, I'm going to forget the fact that Wisniewski got hurt, but those two guys playing well, Paredes and Cam Smith playing well, makes it a lot easier to stomach Kyle Tucker swinging the bat the way he has in Chicago.
No, it feels huge.
Yeah, Paredes especially. Paredes especially when you talk about what he has done.
Yes.
And Cam Tucker, Cam Smith, we should have known that was going to be, like, I know his spring training got us all excited and amped up.
Right.
But we should know, like, it's going to take a little bit. But I would have pressed the button by June 18th. He was hitting 266. Now I would have thought he'd had a little bit more power to this. Yeah. But this is pretty solid right now for what he's been for a rookie year, because he don't have that many games in the minors.
Yeah, well, Cam is the 4-for-5 with two bombs. Is being a rookie is the headliner, but we gotta talk about these arms that are arriving in Houston. Jason Alexander last night gives us a quality start. He got bumped up when Lance McCullers did whatever he did with his big toe, his foot, his sprain, whatever he's got going on. Jason Alexander gets bumped up, and he goes out there, no big deal, quality start. 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, and 4 strikeouts. And I think big picture here, I said this in the tease, the Astros, they've got to get to the finish line. That's the key for the Astros. I think once the Astros, if they can get to the playoffs, if they can be healthy and whole when they get to the playoffs, they got a real shot here. They got a real shot at being one of the better teams in the playoffs.
Dana said they're more built for playoffs.
They got to be healthy, right? That's the key. But right now, they're not healthy, and getting there is going to be the key. Now, it looks like they're going to get there just, you know, effortless. It looks like they're going to get there and have room to spare. But getting there with a starting rotation is going to be key. Whether you're talking about Ryan Gusto's last two outings, I know this last outing he went 5 innings, but he got bumped up in the rotation, so a little bit unexpected there. But Ryan Gusto with 2 in a row, Walter with 1, gave us a quality start. Hell, I think it was even better than a quality start. Gordo, Tyler's guy, Colton Gordon, he's pitching. He's pitching. And we're talking about chewing up innings. We're not talking about guys that are going to help you win games in the playoffs.
Nobody's damn sure not been just a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, but this very well could have been a train wreck. Last night could have been a train wreck. But again, we find one more arm. So here's where we find ourselves, Ron, is yes, we got a bunch of our you know, premier quality starting pitchers hurt right now. Hopefully Lance gets back. Hopefully Spencer Arrieta gets back sooner rather than later. But in a moment where you thought, I mean, damn, what are we going to do?
I've thought it about 3 or 4 times.
Well, now you've got 4 guys, Ron, that you, at least right now. Now, I'm not saying that once the league gets a bunch of film on them and once they get studied up real good that hitters aren't going to adjust. But we've been through a pretty damn good stretch of the schedule. I'm talking about quality opponents, relatively speaking. Each of those guys, with the exception of Jason Anderson here, has had multiple starts. We've got 4 other guys that, when we're talking just chewing innings in a long season, that appear to be up to task.
Yeah, they have done a great job of just giving you a chance. Like, just giving you a chance to be in games. There's not the, oh boy, 7 given up. Like we've seen by some of these young, like some of these other young guys they brought up. 7 given up in 2 innings or 3 innings or something. They have given this team a chance. And, Clint, if we're honest, that is different than maybe other years. This team has had injuries the past several years. We've seen Verlander go down. Obviously, Lance has had injuries. They've had ACLs for multiple years.
It's not ideal.
But when we're talking about giving this team a chance to win, that's a little different than past years.
Yeah.
Because the lineup is a lot different. So they haven't. It's not just giving them a chance to win. They've won some 3-1 ball games, some tighter ball games, because it's not like the Astros just roll out there and score 4 or 5 a night and you can depend on it.
Right, right. Which one was more impressive, Ron? You asked this question earlier, I'm stealing it from you. Which one's more impressive? Cam Smith, 2 bombs, 4-for-5 in a game where you score 13 runs. Seems like everybody's going off, but Cam Smith, the rookie, goes off as well. or Jason Alexander, six innings pitch, three hits, two earned runs, four Ks, and it looks like the Astros have a fourth arm that they can at least feel comfortable going to as they weather the storm of these injuries to their starting rotation.
So, like, the Alexander thing is almost just bigger than him. It's like
no doubt it is.
Of the guys that agreed. They just keep finding. Finding dudes to deal with, right? Like, I mean, that guy, Nick Crutz or whatever, he hit that ball, and it still hasn't landed in Sacramento. And he hit it off Brian Abreu.
Yes, he did.
And then Jason Alexander just waltzes through their lineup. In the first five innings, doesn't give up nothing. Goes through six, gets through six innings, and this is his first start. Like, so, you know, and it's one after another, right, that they've – and you kind of outlined it here just a bit. So, for me, impressive. The most important down the line – is Cam Smith, you know, getting hot. But the most impressive is just, like, it don't matter who they put out there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think when you take the non-Jason Alexander part of this with the injuries and, like, how in need of arms that can chew innings this team is, Jason Alexander probably takes the prize for me too. But Cam Smith, man, like I said earlier, he's got a real chance. A big dude that obviously brings some power, plays with the swag, and has the personality that I think the team needs and want, really, to be honest with you, one that I greatly appreciate. The juice that he brings to the diamond, the juice that he brings to the moments in a game, I love that about Cam Smith. So not minimizing his performance at all. 4 for 5, 2 bombs, big-time night. For the Astros. As I said, Tyler, I hope you got some space for me tonight. We're jumping in on these.
We're
jumping in on these Astros. Big night for the Astros. We're going to score a bunch more runs tonight in Sacramento. So we're loading up. We'll do that later. Best bets coming up. Tyler's fixing to get hot. Turn the corner. Get back right. And I'm gonna win some money with you, T. So get ready.
Sounds like a damn plan.
There you go. That's Tyler Milner. You're here right there. Ryan Ugly's to my left. I'm Clint Stern. You're listening to Sports Radio 610 Houston's sports leader. Real quick, we hadn't done this in a while, boys. What are y'all streaming? What are y'all watching? I think I heard y'all talking a little earlier about something that you've seen that you really like.
We just I know you did too. I watched over the weekend the Travis Scott Astroworld tragedy.
I gotta watch it. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I watched it last night. Very, very tough watch, but good watch.
I gotta watch that.
Godfather of Harlem on that too.
That one I gotta circle back. John, I'm mad at myself on that one, man. That had me hooked.
He's got a good control of that eye in it too, Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, not Forrest Whitley, Forrest Whitaker. Here's the guys. Have y'all seen Shaq's Reebok documentary?
There's nothing draws me to click on it. I see it coming across. Nothing draws me to click on it.
That sounds super enticing.
I watched his show that he had on TNT.
Yeah,
that kind of followed his life, and it was all right. I didn't feel like I needed that again.
Yeah, I'm. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. I was with you. I was kind of like, should I? And then I just kind of clicked on it. He's fascinating, and I really like AI. I really like Allen Iverson. He's a part of it. Him and Shaq are the two big ambassadors over the last 25 or 30 years for Reebok, and they have bought the company.
They have.
I don't know if they bought the company, but Shaq is now the president, and
Shaq's got his hands in a lot.
Allen Iverson is the vice president. So I don't know if they bought into the company. It sure seems like it, based on how they're portrayed in this deal. It's pretty solid. It's a good get.
With a big fella. Huh?
So it's about Reebok.
It's about them taking over Reebok and bringing Reebok back and going and getting ambassadors. And do they go after big name guys? Do they go after the kind of groom guys that are coming up and get them on board with them now?
They actually build. You pumped.
That was Shaq's. That was Shaq.
I didn't remember that.
That was Shaq's answers. First one.
I had the answers. I had them AIs.
I definitely had AIs, yeah. No question. No. Them AIs are the cleanest box ever.
I had Frank Thomas's. Didn't Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt?
Big Hurt, huh?
The baseball cleats? Yeah.
He was Nike, though, wasn't he?
No, I think it was Reebok. Hey,
them AIs were some of the cleanest basketball shoes ever.
Yeah. Better not have been wearing them to practice.
Them Griffies hurt my feet. Tried to wear those. I tried to fight it. I tried multiple games just to look good. I said, man, Teresa, these things hurt my feet.
The show, man.
Got to go get me some big hurts is what I need to get. All right, coming up as we continue, the latest on the biggest story right now happening here in Houston, and it gives us a little bit more understanding of what's potentially on the line. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Apparently, the Florida Panthers, they messed up the Stanley Cup last night in their celebration.
I feel like that happens in hockey more than any of the other sports.
I feel like it's all right. It should happen. What'd they do?
Didn't cracked it.
All right, you had a good time. How you supposed to celebrate?
The bowl of the famous trophy is cracked, and the bottom is dented. Not for the first time, and likely not the last time.
Oh, is it? Did they pass the trophy, the same trophy it's around same every
one.
Year?
It's the same one.
Oh, it's not theirs?
Uh-uh, it's the same one. They put the team name on it every year. They got to be running out of space here now, I'll be honest with you.
Hell, I'd like to be a part of the team that cracks it and dents it too.
Do you?
I mean, I don't want to be the one. Right. I don't want to be the one specifically responsible for it, but I'd like to be a part of the team.
Well, they went that Tom Brady on it. Didn't Tom Brady mess it up?
No, he threw it. It landed in that water. Remember, from boat to boat?
I know, but didn't it?
No, he was just careless.
That was Rob Gronkowski that did that. That dented it.
From one boat to another. Tom threw it all.
I know it was, but wasn't it that same?
I don't think he messed it up.
But there was that Bucks team that dented.
Yes.
But it was maybe. Rob, you said?
I thought it was Rob Gronkowski that did something stupid with it.
All I remember is Tom being wasted that entire aftermath.
Weekend at Bernie's when he got off. I can't believe they got him on film, man.
I wonder what he's more pissed off about, that roast he did or and how he looked at that or that right there.
Oh, that was
he was gone, man, throwing the damn trophy over.
I mean, there's two people holding him up.
Yeah. Damn, Tom.
The guy is drunk.
Ain't this damn thing. All right. Here is the latest here, fellas, on the Kevin Durant situation. The Rockets, they have currently kept Jabari Smith Jr. and Tari Eason off limits in an ongoing Kevin Durant trade discussion with the Suns. Houston, Clint, is willing to include Jalen Green. Oh, that's the field Yates when he tore his labrum. Hitting the tackle at dummy. Anyway.
Oh, no.
But Houston is willing to include Jalen Green, but Phoenix has little to no interest in the former number two overall pick because of...
It's jacked up, ain't it?
Because of his...
No, thank you.
Because of his fit with Devin Booker, which makes sense. But they don't even want to take him as a piece to trade him to get something else. No, we're good. Because they want to get Şengün to pair with Devin Booker is what they want to do. But the Suns view the Timberwolves as the best offer on the table right now for Durant. That package would include Rudy Gobert, Dante DiVincenzo, and Rob Dillingham, who is 1 year. Removed from playing for Kentucky last year. Was a first round pick last year. Point guard, scoring point guard. So that's the best package on the table. I know that the Rockets, Clint, can do better than that without having to give up Şengün or Amen Thompson.
Yeah, look,
I know they can. How old is Rudy? Rudy's got to be in his mid-30s.
As a fan, I look at this and I'm thinking,
this is
if Minnesota's package, the best package that the Suns are have received is Rudy Gobert, DiVincenzo, and Dillingham. If that's the best package and the Rockets don't go get Kevin Durant, then they just don't flat ass want him.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
They just flat ass don't want him. I understand. I greatly appreciate the fact that the Rockets have kept Jabari Smith and Tari Eason off limits and ongoing Kevin Durant trade
as much as they can.
Well, I mean, you can't put him in the first. You can't put those guys in the first package. You got to give them your ideal situation, and the ideal situation has to be right.
Jalen Green included.
Jalen Green and picks. That's where it's got to start.
He loves
for the Rock. Now, if you end up having to throw Jabari or Tari in there, okay.
Or Reed, maybe Reed. You maybe know. Reed is in there.
Well, sure. I mean, sure, if they so, I don't think they got that far down yet, but if they do, that's fine. I mean, yeah. But, I mean, that can't be your first offer is to throw Jabari out there.
No, I think I just really wanted to bring that Minnesota part. That is not – clearly the Suns know that the Rockets can do better than that, but that's not a daunting task. Rudy's 32. Dante's 28. Now, Rob is young. But, I mean, you know, you're not – I mean, he couldn't get on the court last year. So I'm not certain that that's a guy that you can roll through. I know you wouldn't want to include Jabari and Tari, like, especially not both of them. But I'll be damned, Clint, like, this feels doable if that's indeed the best. And this is coming from some of the top reporters in the sport. This is indeed very, very doable.
Yeah, for the Rockets. Absolutely.
Very, very doable. In a bunch of different ways. They can.
I mean, that,
damn, Jalen Green.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You talked about it during the playoffs. Man, did he mess up?
I didn't think he was going to come to that fruition that quickly.
Damn. They're like, nah, man, we out. We good.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, though, with this Rockets deal, Ron. It sure seems like if the Rockets want to, and I'm not talking about getting desperate or getting even aggressive. If the Rockets want to, they could sweeten the spot significantly beyond where they are right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And a bunch of different, whatever it is right now. Because I'm trying to think, Clint, if Tari Eason and Jabari Smith Jr. are off limits, then we damn sure know Shingun and Amin are off limits. And we hear Jalen Green's name pushed in. Like, is that, like, I'm certain Dylan Brooks isn't off limits. I'm certain, I mean, maybe Reed Shepherd is also one that's off limits. I bet you they probably run Cam Whitmore in there. So yeah. I'd like Cam Whitmore has shown more promise than Rob Dillingham, right? And they're both young, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that is the best, because Rudy, I mean, that ain't, Phoenix ain't doing nothing with Rudy. At 32?
Well, the way that, and maybe this has always happened, but the way the league is going, it's to have the ability to go to like a double big or have the ability to have somebody you can throw in there and pose it. But to have a guy that starts every night that can't do diddly ass squat on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah.
Like that I mean, and that's got to be.
And at times struggles to cover.
Yeah, I mean,
certain spots.
Damn sure can't extend out on the floor.
I'm not saying he's not valuable. I mean, he's won 4 Defensive Players of the Year awards, but I'm just saying, comparative to
you lose the matchup game.
32-year-old player. This is compared to some of the young guys the Rockets have.
Yeah,
right. It like we read yesterday. It sounds it was reported that the Rockets were 1 or 2 pieces away from making a deal. I will say overall, I do like what I'm hearing. They are fighting to keep Jabari Smith. They're fighting to keep some of these young guys that they're not willing to pull the trigger on.
Boy, but, I bet Jabari and Tari are both going, man, golly, man, don't send me to Phoenix with that just mess over there.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they like Dev.
Stop being a
bad place to live. Yeah, Dev's all right. But, I mean, damn, you right here in H-Town, man, with something that looks
you're in a great place to live. Already. Damn. We'll see. I want to get Brandon Scott's thoughts on this. We'll get a little text. We'll do a little Texans report coming up. But, you know, Brandon's our Rockets guy. We'll get his thoughts on the latest because Durant, that's the, I think, right now the biggest lingering sports story happening in the city right now. Right now with Durant. So I'll get his thoughts on that and a little Texans report. Brandon Scott, it is a Wednesday, 4:40. He's coming up next right here live. On the drive.
Rock and roll, meow.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryan's, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
I ain't laying down for nobody.
On the drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as it is 4:40 on a beautiful Monday, and that means our guy Brandon Scott in for his Texans report. And I do want to get to the Texans. They did make a move today. Interesting to get your thoughts on it and everything going on with the Texans. But you also do the Rockets report.
Yep.
And I do personally think this Kevin Durant situation is this lingering story of how long this goes that the Rockets are right in the middle of is a big thing. We just talked about on the other side that the Rockets have currently reports kept Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason off limits. Before we get any further, are you surprised of that? We all thought Amen Thompson and maybe Shingun off limits. Are you surprised Jabari Smith and Tari Eason are off limits?
I'm not surprised because that's smart negotiation, right? Like, to say that they're off limits or to try to keep them off limits does not necessarily make them off limits. And if I'm negotiating and if I'm on the Rocket side of things, I feel like I've got all of the leverage here. You know, I've got your picks. I've got all of these young players. Like, pick your poison on how you want me to make your team better to do this trade that you're going to do one way or another. So that's what it comes down to. Like, from the Rocket side, I've got the most to offer.
So you don't think they're really off limits? You could see them being, like, I think Amen Thompson's off limits, right?
I don't think that they're actually off limits. I think that that's a negotiation tactic and that you're going to do the best that you can. Maybe you flirt with those picks. Like, what do you value more, your future or Jabari Smith Jr.? Maybe I sell you more on the 2027 pick, which some people don't want to give up. Maybe some people would rather give up Jabari than the 2027 pick. View it as more valuable. But how do you view it? There's more than one way to get this done. So I don't think they're actually off limits, but it's smart to want to keep as many players that you like as possible, especially when you have all of these draft picks and you're dealing with the team whose draft picks they are. Yeah. Like, I think that part is important.
V. Scott, I just asked Ron this question. Like, in my crazy, as you start kind of seeing the reports, it just seems like two things. One, if Gobert, DiVincenzo, and Dillingham is the sweetest package they got right now, if the Rockets can't top that, it's because they don't want to, number one. Number two, it seems like the Rockets have the most pieces, and there's a lot of moving parts, but the most pieces in the conversation to, quote-unquote, sweeten the pot to get there.
Yeah, so the Gobert thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't know what to read. Because here's the thing with the Gobert thing. If that's real, then that is, I think that that's actually the sweetest package. Like, you get
joked. Really?
Yeah, I really do. Like, unless it's a...
The Gobert?
I mean, yeah, unless
well,
you
said
talk,
it was.
Unless you're starting to, you know, talk about him in Thompson or something like that, something that we've already decided is off the table. But yeah, Gobert to me changes the calculus. I just don't really buy into that. I know that's out there, but I don't buy into it just for the simple fact that Kevin Durant has made it clear that he doesn't want to go there. And it just makes more sense for him to want to end up at one of these spots that he does want to go to that also have the assets to get him. Yeah. The places he wants to go can get him. Houston, San Antonio. And we hear that San Antonio is not as active, but if they want him, they can get him.
They've got the pieces.
Miami. So, like, all of these other places that he actually wants to go and would be willing to sign an extension at, not actually be a one-year rental, those places can get him. So I don't really buy into it as much. But if it is real, then that changes the calculus to me.
All right. As Clint just talked about, they're saying the best package they see. Rudy Gobert, 32 years old. Dante DiVincenzo, a role player, but a good player. And then Rob Dillingham, who has just finished his first year, little point guard from Kentucky.
You got to think about it from the Sun standpoint. Are they trying to tear this thing down, or are they actually just trying to retool and try to be good next year? And I could see how they could convince themselves that a Devin Booker, Rudy Gobert-led team would be at least a middling team in the Western Conference. I don't necessarily buy into it, but we understand that Ishbia over there in Phoenix has had some growing pains in being a new owner, doesn't actually quite get it. I could see them making that mistake, but I also could see the logic in it.
Yeah, it was reports Houston's willing to include Jalen Green in this thing, but the Suns won't know parts of it.
Yeah, I also don't necessarily buy into that.
Talking about the fit with Devin Booker is what the report.
I think that's the key part. It's less about not wanting Jalen Green as just seeing the redundancy in his game and him as a potential asset. Like, his contract, like, Jalen Green, for what his potential is and what that contract is that he signed with the Rockets last offseason, is a pretty valuable trade asset at this point, whether it's the Rockets or if it's the Phoenix Suns acquiring him for the Rockets, for anybody that has that contract. So, like, it seems like such a knock on Jalen Green, because it's like, you know, nobody wants him, or he's kind of like this lost player. He's definitely got some things that he's got to figure out.
Why don't he want me, man?
And he does feel like a man without a country right now, because the team that's got him, you know, floated out there in trade rumors. The team that could trade for him potentially doesn't want him. But there's still some usefulness in Jalen Green, if or not his contract alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Well, what do you jumping over to the Texans. You ready? You ready to make that move? Jumping over to the Texans, they made a move. The Texans have signed XFL Roughnecks corner Raiders first and former Raiders first round draft pick Damon Arnett Jr. Just your thoughts on the Texans bringing in a corner, that corner specifically. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is an important low risk move that's not terribly to me. Not terribly dissimilar to what they did last week with Nick Chubb. Now, we're talking about two totally different type of characters, two totally different types of players. I understand that difference. But in terms of the low-risk, high-reward potential, like Nick Chubb, obviously, if he's Nick Chubb, could be your top running back, right? We don't expect this guy, Damon Arnett, to be your top anything, right? I understand that.
Right.
But if he can just come in there and do simply what they're signing him to do, which is just do your job. You're not the 19th overall pick in the 2020 draft anymore. Forget all of that.
Yeah.
You don't have like this
you're
is
reserve
a this,
corner.
You're a reserve corner, and you were the 19th pick in the 2020 draft for a reason. So like you're a cornerback. You're a professional cornerback. If you can keep your head on straight, if you can keep your head and just focus, you are a professional NFL cornerback. Just come here and do that and be that. And if he's that, he answers what I think is still an important question for the Texans. Not just like that position group. I think about the cornerback position. It's really the only position group where I've got the question about depth. I got questions about the high end and the talent on certain position groups, but y'all were talking about this earlier with the offensive line, perhaps coming out of minicamp and coming out of OTAs feeling like, oh, maybe they got the depth at offensive line, even if they don't have the dudes. I feel like that is the case across the board except for cornerback. Like there's just absolutely no depth there. And the Ronald Darby thing caught them by surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you understand why they're in this position, why they would go after a guy like this, even if it's not under the most ideal circumstances. So it's a low risk, potentially medium to high reward type of situation.
Jimmy Ward done?
I can't see how he's not, man. I can't see how he's not if the accusation is like it. I was talking about this with a couple of other people at an event the other night. A couple of other people that cover the Texans, and it's like, there's a lot of nuance to what's going on here with Jimmy Ward, but the part where there isn't is like, did you choke this woman or not? Like, and that's a hard, obviously hard question to answer today, right? Like, he's just barely been charged since last week. This thing's got to kind of play itself out. But like, do the Texans think that he choked this woman? Right? And if they do, they're going to let him go. Yeah. You know, it feels kind of as simple as that. Like, and you can already see from a football standpoint, we've already sort of painted the picture of phasing Jimmy Ward. Like, we understand his leadership role, the mentality, the attitude, his understanding of the defense, his connection to D'Amico Ryans.
That's going to kick rocks right there.
Well, we understand that to be the value of having him around. I guess that's why they would extend him the way that they did last year. Everybody thought that contract extension was curious to begin with. But that's the reason why. But they also kind of phased him out by, you know, obviously having the emergence of Kalen Bullock. And I don't think that they need him as much as they did before. So what's the, you talk about risk reward, like what is the reward of having a guy that is accused of strangling a woman who's like kind of playing for you and is supposedly carrying some type of captain leadership role?
Yeah.
Is that the message you want to send in terms of leadership, attitude reflect leadership, right? So like, it's one of those things. And we understand the McNair family historically, like, that's not really the waters that they like to wade in, you know. So I think he's done.
Yeah, that'd be tough. What'd you think on my take yesterday on the running back position? How'd you feel about that?
Yeah, so
best case scenario.
I think that is the best case scenario, that Nick Chubb is. Because you preface it basically like Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb.
Yeah,
or
you get
some
the best
close,
of both dudes.
Some close, yeah, right? Okay, so the best of both dudes. The best of both dudes would be Nick Chubb is your top running back, and maybe even your offense looks a lot different if you got a Nick Chubb. Like,
yeah,
that just hasn't been an imagination of the Texans for a very long time, if ever, quarterback like Nick Chubb specifically. So that is the best case scenario. I agree with that, but I also don't necessarily think it's a realistic scenario.
Probably ain't.
Or something that you can expect from
it's
Nick Chubb.
Not.
Like the best case realistic scenario is that you do get some version of Nick Chubb that can do a lot of the things that you're talking about. But more so to my point, Clint, it's like, can spell Joe Mixon, and I've been on this for a while, but like the workload that Joe Mixon had last year is not the workload that he needs to have this year. And ideally is not the workload that he has if Nick Chubb is right. And even if you hadn't signed Nick Chubb, you'd hopefully find an answer. If it ain't Damian Pierce, if we've already given up on that dream, maybe it's Woody Marks. You got to find an answer somewhere there. To me, it would be unacceptable for Joe Mixon to carry a similar workload this year as he did last year.
Well, the interesting thing is you're right. We went into it. I know it's far-fetched. It's an extreme long shot.
I'll dream with you.
Ron's point was even more valid, really, was even if it is the case and we get the better, like a crazy, lucky, good version of Nick Chubb, like I don't think the Texans would ever go in there and go like, hey, Joe, I need you to be this kind of second-hand, third guy, third down back, more of a spread offense back. Like, that would be that move ever happening would be...
A healthy Joe to get to a point of Joe going into the games or thoughts is like the second one in terms of touches.
Well, not being the first one on the field, period. I mean, that's just the reality of it is for, cause
to
I don't,
get
I don't,
to that point.
They're never going to be, I think Joe's smart. I don't think Joe's ever going to be like, oh, well, he had more carries than me. No, I mean, the game dictates a different flow. But the reality of it is who walks their ass out there to start that game?
Yeah.
And that would be a tough pill for Joe Mixon to swallow if that ever weren't him.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. Like, it could become an unspoken thing. Like, Joe Mixon, let's remember, like, he's good enough to just go out there and start. And if, like you said, Clint, if the game dictates that Nick Chubb just happened to get more of the carries, but Joe Mixon was the first guy to go out there, like, don't y'all think that both of those guys are made enough at this point to accept whatever role, to kind of fit into whatever role the team dictates?
I don't know.
I think so.
Raphael Devers in here, boy. I don't know.
I think so. I think, especially if they're winning and it works, that would be key.
Yeah.
You know, I think they absolutely could, because they've both been that guy already before.
To me, Nick Chubb has experienced it. I just think it will be reversed this time. I think when Kareem Hunt got to Cleveland, Kareem Hunt was still, in his mind, a prime running back. He had just gotten into some trouble. But Nick Chubb was still the lead guy. He was still the lead guy, but they made it work to where I think Chubb was over 1,000. He was over 800.
Yeah, if Nick Chubb can be Kareem Hunt and Joe Mixon can just be Joe Mixon, stay healthy and all of that.
And I think that's, to me, that's the hope and the potential best case scenario.
I see it.
All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock. Fire will get you ready for the Astros tonight as they look to win game 3 of this 4-game set. Framber night, so we'll get you ready for that. Also, a little bit more on the deal the Texans made and huge, huge money news coming out of the NBA. We will discuss all of that. Little 5 o'clock fire coming up next right here on The Drive.